Welcome to NLP Talks with Laura Evans, a podcast for people looking to unleash their potential in business and life. I'm Laura Evans, international trainer of NLP and host for this podcast series. Join me for insightful interviews with people that know firsthand just how NLP can change lives, and they'll share with you tips and strategies to help you clear your path to success. Stay tuned. Welcome to NLP Talks with Laura Evans. I am Laura Evans, and I'm the founder and lead trainer here at Unleash Your Potential, and of course, your host for this podcast. It gives me great pleasure to introduce today's guest, who is Louise Herzog. Now, she is a sports mindset coach and has been using NLP in sport for quite some time. In this episode, she's going to share with you some of her top tips on how to use some of the really simple elements of NLP to make a difference in sport. So if you're looking to use NLP to improve your sport, then you're going to love this episode. So stay tuned. Let's get started.
After the first course I did with you, I decided, well, what I'll do is I'll just put it out there a bit, tell people a little bit about NLP. Yeah. So I did a seminar. There was only 12 people there, but six of them I went on to coach. Don't shoot me, but I offered free coaching to start with a donation.
Yeah, now I like the twist.
Yes. So I raised quite a lot of money for charity, which was quite
awesome.
Good. But yeah, and I didn't have a company set up at the time. So I knew I needed to have some value in terms of making sure that the donation was there. But I was so keen to practice. I was like, whoever needs it. So I got quite a few people in, hands up, made quite a few mistakes to start with. You know, and it's just learning, especially when you're out there on your own, different techniques and different things. And after doing my first course, I was a bit sure of what sort of structure to take with that coaching. People would come in to me with specific problems, but they were also kind of looking for me to give them a structure. Mm-hmm. I guess a lot of sports people are so used to having that structured training and coaching that they're like, right, so tell me, what do I need to fix about my mind?
Yeah.
It wasn't until I did my master prac that I was like, I know how to do this now. The 2-day breakthrough has so many components that are so important in sport to be able to run through with people that I was like, how can I take this and use this without having to do the 2-day breakthrough? Yeah. Because some people, you know, financially, it's not viable for everybody.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And I wanted to be able to give as many of those I'd coached previously access to be able to do that. So once I'd done my master prac, obviously my own mind was really focused and I was like, right, I'm going to go and set up this business now. Got my website going, and then I thought, right, so I need a structure. So I worked out a 12 session or 12 month program with a little bit of all of the stuff in.
Cool.
I guess what was really important for me, and I guess with most of the people I coach, is actually to give them some learning and value from it. So the first session is normally a couple of hours, but it isn't just focused on them. It's also focusing on mindset techniques, not just NLP, a wide range of psychology, sports psychology, different things like that as well. But also helping them to understand what NLP is. Mm. So I structure that over the 12 sessions. So by the time they come to some of those big sessions like timeline therapy, they really understand it. They really get it. I had quite a few people, interestingly, people who I didn't think would understand timeline therapy, as we all know, it's a bit of a different thinking in terms of doing it. A lot of scientific sports people I've coached who are very set in their ways. And I was like, going to be so difficult to do timeline. I was like panicking. I was nervous on the day, more nervous than they were, I think. And actually they were the best people.
Wow.
They got into it so easily and so quickly. And I think for me, that's how I learned to do timeline therapy, not quickly, but be able to think of the words and language to use to get the best results fast.
Yeah.
And also because so many people in sports have already got those learnings. I found that most of my sessions is just guiding them to what they already know.
Yeah.
Obviously, in sport, the conscious and unconscious mind is super important. Mm. Most of them do reading around stuff, self-help books. They always come in and look at my self-help library. I'm like, help yourself, do what you like.
Yeah.
I think I buy every book under the sun. But they already have that, they're already that sponge that wants to accept and understand, you know, to do that. But also just teaching them how to switch off that conscious.
Yeah, because that screws up a lot of sports professionals, doesn't it?
100%, yeah. I mean, and really interestingly, I'm just reading a little bit around sports psychology at the moment and how that's so important. But it always, I really just don't understand, is why do more people not use NLP in sport?
Mm.
The techniques are fantastic. They're so quick and so fast. Yes, you can do a lot of the psychology type techniques and the theories. And yes, they all work. But looking at the two different sides of things, especially now, I really think that NLP is just so quick. Yeah. It really helps to people to just make those changes quite fast.
And that's what sports professionals want, right? They want you to fix the problem fast. They don't want to spend weeks and weeks talking about it. Or
exactly. And I think so many people, though, look to sports psychology as the number one thing.
Right.
You know, NLP doesn't have necessarily a great reputation,
yeah.
as you probably know. People
Absolutely.
Have gone out there to not do great things with it. But people haven't taken it to the level that it could be taken to, I think, in sport. And I guess for me, that's what I'm super passionate about doing, is just using those techniques alongside other stuff, like the sports psychology stuff, which does work amazingly. But I just don't know why we don't use it more. It just gets that mind going so much quicker.
I love it. I love it. No, I agree. I absolutely agree. That honestly, there's like three pots of people out there with NLP. There's the massive advocates, people like us, that have had great results personally and want to use it to help others. A pot of people that are a bit like, I could probably be persuaded, but I don't know. And then the pot of people that have had a bad experience or have heard of someone else that's had a bad experience. And then that's like pushing water up a hill. Yeah. I mean, do you always refer to NLP as NLP when you're working with people?
Don't shoot me, but no.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Go on, tell us why you
I feel a bit like the estate agent thing. Sorry, estate agents and recruiters, because that's what I do anyway. You know, we all have quite a bad rep in the market as bad salespeople. And I think a lot of people have taken NLP and become life coaches or used it in a coaching manner where they're not using it effectively and maybe not in a structured way is what I've started to think. Mm. Maybe they don't have the structure how I've been taught, you know, what I've gained from your courses, you know, is it's really important to structure it. Mm. Work on one bit and then the next bit. Don't try and do a quick fix at the start and hope it gets rid of everything.
Yeah.
Because I think there's so many techniques that you learn throughout your NLP journey and the courses that you provide, you know. I've learned things from, you know, my first practitioner course, my master prep, but also like the small sales courses you do, things that you can take over, not necessarily sales related either, you know, things that work really well. So I think it's probably people are just trying to go in for the big win straight away. And I think sometimes you need to take a step back with NLP. You need to assess actually what is the problem. I think you and I probably know half the time the presenting problem isn't the presenting problem. And so many people come to me and they're like, oh, I need to fix this in my sports environment, or when I'm out running, this happens. And then we get to the nitty gritty and I'm talking to them about phobias of spiders or needles or, you know, oh, well, how did we get here? So I think that sort of initial conversation with people is it's so important to understand, right, so what is everything? You know, what is everything you want to get rid of? Every client that comes to me has a list. I want to see that list before they even come in my door. Yeah. And anyone who comes in with half a piece of paper, they can go away. But it works great. And also, I think it's quite therapeutic for them. Somebody did it at work with somebody a couple of weeks ago and they gave me the list. And I was like, that's quite a big list. But when we chunked it all up, quite a lot of the problems were similar. Quite a lot were the same. And I was like, right, I know exactly what techniques we can use on this. Some of it even isn't just NLP techniques, but it's stuff that you learn in LP, like in the master prac, you know, about writing the life story.
Yeah.
The therapy that some people get from that is amazing.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side, I have some people that don't want to write that. Fine, don't write it. Let's do something different. So like you were saying before, you know, how do you do it? Well, I just mix it up. I have to go with what the client feels, and I'm not going to get them to write a life story because NLP traditionally is content free.
Yeah.
If they don't want to do it, they don't want to do it. Let's go something else. And for me, this always works really well.
Yeah.
I can pretty much pick out what's happened previously. Yeah. And if they want to go on and write a life story after, which some of them do then, they're quite interested. So, well, where did that come from?
Yeah. So. And I think for me, that's the difference between, you know, a really skilled master practitioner and a lot of other people that are out there. There are so many people with an NLP toolkit and they apply it almost blindly. Yeah. You know, they'll go, oh, well, I've got this in my toolkit, so here, have this. As opposed to listening to you talk, it's all about the client and it's all about tailoring it to what they need, when they need it, the right technique at the right time and being flexible. You know, in my experience, that gets hugely better results, right?
Yeah, massively. And I mean, obviously with the master prac and obviously doing a 2-day thing, that's great if you can get the access to the person to do that. And I would 100% recommend that. If people can afford it, get on and just complete
the 2-day breakthrough coaching.
The breakthrough coaching, yeah. Because I think that for a mindset change for me, that was so powerful. However, it does work. Constantly going at the problem. And also for some of my clients, they want to go home and reflect on some of the things, particularly kinesthetic people, as you and I know, they like to go home and think about things a bit more. So I found almost the reflection on the NLP techniques has also been a good part of you know, compounding the change as well. So,
and I always say to people, as much as I prefer doing 2-day intensive breakthrough coaching, that's my style, I always say to people, you've got to do what's right for you and right for your client.
Yeah.
And actually, if 2-day intensive coaching isn't right for you as a coach or isn't right for the client, then do it a different way.
Great results. It has really worked for me doing it.
It's a process. And then make the process work how you want to make it work.
And so, sports people love a process. So, it's like I'm giving them a 12-week training program. They're like, right, so what do I need to do for my mind, you know?
I love it.
But that's it. They really like that and they value that. And, you know, I break it down and I say, this is what you're going to learn, because it is a learning thing for them as well. I mean, it's important for me that they understand the value of NLP, because I'm so passionate about spreading NLP in sport that obviously I want them to go away and be able to explain it to people properly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone always says to me, oh, well, why haven't you coached your husband? Well, you never coach your nearest and dearest.
No.
But as I keep saying to Laura, I probably do need to start coaching him a bit now because he trains with me. So he needs to start explaining what I do a bit better probably. But, it's really interesting. Yeah. I love it.
So I want to come on to talk about the use of timeline therapy in sport a little bit later in the show.
Yeah.
But what I want to start to have a look at now is, out of the actual NLP, core NLP toolkit, what are the techniques and tips and things you use with your client that you have great success with them?
Okay, so my favourite one is very old school, back to basics, lesson one, peripheral vision.
Cool.
For peripheral vision in sport, there are so many occasions you need to switch off that unconscious brain. You know, when you get into peripheral vision, it just helps you to, well, quieten your conscious mind.
Yeah.
So, for example, a lot of people will be in a workout and they'll be like, I can't do it, or I'm struggling, or they'll start to feel their breathing. I can see them when they're going into fight or flight response because I'm thinking, you know, they're panicking. Am I going to do it? You know,
because you're with a lot of your clients when they're competing,
aren't
you?
Yeah, so I train quite a lot, or I'll go and watch them compete and I can see them, and then I look at them. And actually, I've got a great photo I'm going to show you one day of one of the girls doing it. So all I get them to do, Laura, you'll probably remember from the courses, and I'm probably teaching you to suck eggs, but, you know, if you just sort of focus straight ahead and focus straight on a point, and then you just start to relax and start to sort of focus your eyes and just take in more and more and almost start to look behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really weird. It has, like, this calming effect.
Yeah.
And that's what I teach them, first of all. The first thing when they come into my coaching session, that's what they leave with. And they always come back and they're like, it's brilliant. But not just in sport, at work when they're stressed.
Mm.
You know, people that have got families and it gets a bit much and the kids are going, just do it. And the more they practice it, the quicker they can get into that peripheral vision. And I can see so quickly when they're doing it. And it's just a great technique, isn't it?
I mean, I love it. I love it. I always use it when I'm teaching people about presenting skills to dampen the nerves down. Because as you say, it shuts off the conscious mind, allows access to the unconscious mind. And it's your unconscious mind that's responsible for the behaviour and the outcome, as we know. So being in peripheral vision all the time not only helps you better manage nerves, get rid of them, but also can help you just focus on the task in hand instead of this buzzy head, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's great, isn't it? I mean, I just hit upon it once with somebody who said that they were struggling with calming their brain down. I was like, well, how did Laura teach us that? You know, what was it we taught? Oh, okay, that was in lesson one. Maybe we should try this, you know.
Yeah.
But sometimes you forget, with all the training and things you go on and all the different techniques, that sometimes the simplest ones just work the best.
Totally.
I love them.
Totally.
Love them.
Oh, I love a bit of peripheral vision.
Yeah, and the anchoring, you know, things like that.
Mm. Tell us a bit more. How do you use anchoring?
So I use the positive anchoring. Funnily enough, I actually do a self-teaching them to do it as well. So obviously getting them to think of something very positive, trying to stay away from the knuckles. I've learnt my lesson. I teach a lot of people that do weightlifting. And when I was in your first course, somebody did a positive anchor on my thumb knuckle.
Right.
And I went to hit the bar and I couldn't stop laughing because
I'd bashed
my knuckle where, in fact, Bob had put a positive anchor on me and I couldn't stop. So my one experience now is positive anchors, but in the right place. So I use the earlobe quite a lot.
Okay.
I think that's something, I think maybe one of your clients you'd experience with. So I use that quite a bit, but also teaching them to do it on themselves.
Right.
When you're in state, when you're in a really good moment, just squeeze that ear and anchor that positive state. And you can see sometimes when I train with people who's done it, who hasn't, because you can see they're standing there like this.
I love it.
Yeah. So I find, yeah, anchoring, it's great. Real great technique, isn't it? And it's, again, one of the simplest ones.
And also, out of all the NLP techniques, it's probably one of the most commonly used in sport.
Yes.
Because, you know, anchoring allows us to connect a particular emotion to a particular stimulus, to call it its proper name, but whether that's a knuckle or an earlobe or whatever. And so, you know, if you take some of the Olympic gold medalists, for example, they know that in order to run a 100-meter sprint or something else, you can't do that in the wrong frame of mind.
No.
And being able to change your emotional state in an instance by squeezing your earlobe or touching your knuckle or whatever the anchor is just hugely powerful.
Yeah. And that's why I just don't understand why NLP is not used more in sport.
Yeah. It's a fascinating one.
Although anchoring is talked about in sports psychology and there are ways of doing it, the way and the technique it's done in NLP is so much faster.
Yeah.
In the psychology side of things, it's much more about practicing doing it on yourself, you know, whereas how quickly can we anchor something? Laughter. Oh, let's not start because it will start.
Yeah, you know. It won't, but yes.
So, you know, I just find that fascinating. Why aren't we doing more of it?
Yeah.
So those two techniques are probably the most important ones. I like to do at the early stages with the clients.
And listeners could do that themselves. They can definitely do that peripheral vision exercise. Absolutely. And also can anchor it. I mean, you know, without understanding NLP anchoring in its entirety, if someone's in a really positive emotional state and they want to be able to recall it, I think it's a great idea. Just grab your earlobe and capture it and keep doing that. And the more you do it, the stronger the anchor becomes. And then you can fire it off deliberately then when you need to. I think it's a great tip.
Yeah, exactly. Just make sure you always grab the same earlobe. Otherwise, you're going to be walking around like this.
But yeah. Holding them back.
But yeah, I think it's great. And you can teach children that as well. I've had so much good with my children, getting them to do it, you know. Yeah. They're always like, Mum, stop. But, you know, it's a great, great technique.
Yeah, fab. In terms of coaching in sport, do you think it's important to be an expert in the sport that you coach in or not?
I like that you've asked this question because it's quite pertinent to me this week. I used to think so, yes. And I am personally of the mindset where I think you need to walk the walk, talk the talk. However, my most recent experiences and coaching experiences, I coach people in CrossFit, but I've started to coach other people, people that do long distance running, people who do weightlifting, which I do like, but I'm not so great at. And from a mindset perspective, I don't think it actually matters too much because most people come to me with very similar problems across a range of sports. I did think it was important at the start, but I think, Laura, that's because I started in that area. I started where I knew. But no, everybody has a similar problem or fear of failure. One of the things that comes up every time with every person I coach. I don't think I've yet to have anyone that's come through that hasn't had it. And myself, that was one of my biggest things before I started doing my own NLP, you know.
Yeah.
So no, the answer is no, I don't think so. I did used to think it was important because I think we're brought up to be so scientific that you should know everything about what you do. NLP allows you to be broad, I guess, in your knowledge across a variety of different things without actually having to know the content.
Yeah. And a mindset's a mindset, right? Whatever
100%.
Sport it is.
Yeah. And does it need to be sport? No,
absolutely. I always remember the analogy that was always given to me about, you know, you take people at the absolute peak of their sport, and we talk about gold, silver medalists, you know, people that would be considered to be the best. And if you take any kind of, you know, Olympics or Commonwealth Games or anything like that, the only difference between a bronze and a gold medal is mindset. Because they wouldn't be there if they didn't technically know how to do their sport.
Yeah, 100%.
I guess you find that also in CrossFit and the stuff
you do. Yeah, and I mean, a lot of people, the skills are there. They know how to do it. A couple of clients I've had just couldn't get past certain weights for certain movements, like for the snatch or the deadlift. And what's your block? I mean, even myself, my own block, I had a block. And it turned out the block was nothing to do with the weight on the bar. It was to do with the amount of weights I had in my garage. You know,
Brilliant. Really silly things like that
we start to go into our unconscious. So I'd looked at 90K in my garage for months and months that my brain had then said, you can't do more than that. And it's just fascinating, isn't it? Yeah. I find that so interesting. And getting rid of things like the fear of failure, not believing in themselves, not believing they're good enough. It's amazing how much their motivation skyrockets and they can actually lift those weights without even thinking about it.
Just through a few, what we would consider simple little NLP techniques.
Simple things.
That take minutes to do.
100%. And also things like people who are looking around constantly worrying what everybody else is doing. get them to do a bit of perceptual positions, which is obviously when I get them to sort of think about what other people are thinking about them, because so many people worry about what everyone else thinks. It's your own game. Get on and do your own thing and stop worrying. And one of the girls I coach, she's amazing. And when she finally got rid of that, to watch her in a competition that we did, lift what she did, and she turned after she'd done the lift and looked at me, almost cried like my mother. But it was just so pleasing because that was her block. So,
and it must make you hugely proud to be 100%. On the sidelines watching all these people competing and blowing their personal bests and all that kind
but
of stuff.
But they don't even need to do their personal best, they just need to try. Well, we went to a competition last year and there was a particularly hard movement in the workout, and there was two teams. One team, two of the girls I'd coached were on, and the other team, nobody I'd coached was on. This particularly hard movement, this team didn't try doing it. The girls just tried.
The girls you coached?
I coached, just kept trying, and they kept looking at me because I think they were thinking, oh no, if I don't try it, she's going to, you know. But I just wanted them to try, like, just put it out there and try. And also you could see, not necessarily people I coached, but you can identify who's got the right mindset, because there was a lot of people that couldn't do that movement, but you could see those people that were probably quite negative, that could probably do with our help, you know, versus those people who've obviously done some work.
Yeah, I can, I will,
can
I'm going
to. Exactly, you know.
As opposed to, I'm not sure if I can, I mean, I'll give it a go.
And what's the worst that can happen? You know, So things like that are important. It's not necessarily about winning and breaking PBs. It's just being better than you were yesterday.
I love it. A brilliant way to look at it. So I'd like to move on, if it's okay, and start talking about your use of timeline therapy in sport. Because in the UK, we have this aversion to the word therapy. We don't like the idea of therapy. Nobody wants a therapist. Whereas if we were across the pond over in America, everybody's got a therapist. But I know you've had some amazing success in actual driven results that people have achieved as a result of you having done timeline therapy with them. Is there an example you can maybe share with us?
Probably the first person I experimented on. I'd like to call it experiment. One of my first volunteers, great guy that I was training with. He came and did timeline therapy from my practitioner. So not master's level, but practitioner level. Again, somebody I was a bit unsure of. And also I felt like I was trying to feel my way through it. He was kinesthetic. I'm not kinesthetic. I'm AD. So those that
different
know
styles.
A bit about NLP, different styles. So for me, it was learning to be more kinesthetic and slower. I'm not a slow person, as everybody knows. So it was a challenging timeline therapy for me. But I didn't actually see the results till the day that me and him did a competition.
Okay.
We did a competition with four people. Two people I hadn't yet coached, and us two. The two people that hadn't coached were quite anxious, a bit excitable, I guess.
You know, on edge.
Bit on edge, maybe a bit nervous. They're both great athletes now, and were then as well. I just had a different sense of energy from them. Mm-hmm. I know people like, you know, therapy and energy, we do avoid that. But me and this person, my client that I'd coached, it was just like we were so chilled. We were so relaxed. There was a movement that I was absolutely dreading. And me, myself, I was like, and he's just, you're just going to look at me. We're going to go down and up. And I'm just going to say this, we're going to go down and up. And I suddenly felt like, who's coaching who here? You know? But he had so relaxed, so not worried about it. And we had a great time. I don't think I've laughed so much throughout a competition, but prior to that. Then I went on to do my master's timeline therapy. And I would say that is a different level, a different depth of timeline that you can get to. Because not only do you talk about, you know, negative emotions, but also you're looking at limiting beliefs, things that people have made. So it's almost like a complete spring clean for the mind, and you completely get rid of some of the things that I think are just a blocker for people. A couple of people I've coached, clients recently, one's gone on to be a CrossFit coach.
Super.
Absolutely shocking, because I never even thought he would. And a super achievement, you know, absolute testament to him and what he's done. Other girls have gone on to break PBs. One of the girls I know is entering, she just texted me this morning to say she's entering a marathon next year. And I was like, wow, you know, they're really pushing themselves. It's once you've done timeline, I think it gives you like a motivation rocket. Do you know what I mean? It's just like you're gunning after everything. And I know after my own timeline therapy, I was like, right, I'm going to make this coaching work, and I'm going to really show people how NLP and sport works so well. So I think timeline therapy, I love. I do it as part of my 12 sessions, interestingly. I don't do it on its own. Mm-hmm. I guess I could. I guess that's not something that I wouldn't be, you know, I would do it. However, I think to do timeline, you've really got to understand the way your mind works.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I've had so much success with it. because by the time we get to timeline therapy, they've done 4 or 5 sessions. So we both know what it is we need to get rid of, you know, and it's great. I love it. I always feel very drained after the sessions, and quite often they'll message me the next day to say, I feel a bit lost. Yeah, you do. You feel completely lost. And they're like, well, why? I say, because you've just lost all the you were carrying. You know, so it's really interesting, isn't it? It just makes you lighter. It just makes you think, my goodness, where's all that gone? You know, and people that go on to do things, I mean, people have talked to me and given me stuff that they're going to do and hasn't really happened throughout the whole sessions. And then as soon as timeline happens, a week later, they're doing everything off their list they want to do. And I'm just like, you know, you still got to write a goal here.
Yeah.
Are you already achieving stuff? It's absolutely wonderful to see.
Yeah, but yeah, fab.
Very valuable technique. Very valuable.
I love it. I love it. And I love its application in so many different areas. I mean, throughout the podcast, you know, episodes that we've done, we've heard about timeline therapy a lot from everybody. But to see it used in sport as well with great success. And I think the brilliant thing about sport is you can measure the result.
Yes.
Because you start working with a client, you sort out their mindset, you do timeline therapy, you do a load of other stuff, and then you watch them rock it. And you're like, and then they surprise themselves, like, I never thought I could do that. And then all of a sudden, everything becomes possible.
Yeah. And also, they always, quite a few of them say, oh, you've really changed me. And I haven't changed you. You did it. Because as you and I know, timeline therapy isn't something, a process I do to you. It's something we do together. So I think you become part of their journey, and I know journey and therapy, and they're all, you know, hippie words, I guess, but it's so important to see them achieving.
And I bet they quite like the fact it's content-free, right? I can imagine their scientific brains working over time, thinking, I don't want to sit there and tell her all about my problems. I just want to get rid of them.
But scientific brain means I do a lot of prep with them. I do teach them about the whole process. I do go through the whole, you know, how it works. Do get them to perhaps look at the video online, and quite a few people come back and say, okay, is that really what's going to happen? Bit of a crazy YouTube video, but you know, it's good for them to experience and understand, you know, what happens in those sessions. Because some people come in and say, oh, I don't think I can do it. You don't really have to do anything. Yeah. I'm just going to talk you through stuff, and it will just come out.
We'll have a chat.
Yeah, it's just the unconscious thing, isn't it? And I think we don't use our unconscious enough.
Yeah, no.
We put everything in it, but then we never use it enough. We don't bring everything back out that is positive.
Yeah. Those, I know you've done a lot of YouTube videos. If people want to go and check that YouTube video out or any other YouTube videos you've got, where would they find that?
They're just at my Revolution Performance Mindset on my subscription. So if they go and subscribe to Revolution Performance Mindset.
On YouTube.
On YouTube, yep.
They'll get
There's
everything.
A great video on there from one of my clients explaining how timeline therapy helped him. Interestingly, he came to me for sport, but he talks about life.
Yeah.
How much it's happened in life. And I think, Laura, for me, a lot of people come to me for sport, but there's so much else that they need to work on, or emotional things that they need to deal with, that it doesn't just change what happens in their sporting environment. It changes everything else.
Yeah.
Completely different people, you know, and it's absolutely wonderful. I love the video. It's just,
I remember seeing it. Yeah, I think it's just amazing.
Watch it. And watch it to the end if you can. It's just such a smiler at the end.
I love it. I'm really
proud of him, so.
So just changing tack slightly, strategies is something that's quite a big thing in sport. I mean, we talk about strategies in NLP a huge amount. Strategies being the programs or processes that we run at the unconscious level that give us a specific result, good or bad, but it gives us a specific outcome. You know, I don't work in sport as a specialism like you do, but I'm guessing you spend quite a lot of time looking at strategies and the way people's minds are working.
Yes. So interesting you mentioned strategies. Quite a lot of people with the same problem. So when we in CrossFit, specifically in CrossFit, we always do a workout, a WOD, or a workout of the day.
Okay.
Can be anything. You don't normally know until the day what it's going to be to do. Can be really challenging. Can be movements in there you like. Can be movements in there you don't like. If you're working with a barbell, or if you're doing rig work, you will use chalk.
It's foreign language to me, but anyway, equipment.
Equipment, barbell on the floor,
rig on the,
so pull-ups, you do pull-ups on a rig.
Yeah, I can do that.
So we have buckets of chalk around. So if your hands get sweaty, you need to put chalk on. However, there's quite a lot of people that like to use chalk as part of a strategy, rightly or wrongly. So they'll go to the bucket. So they'll be mid-workout when this time capped. So you probably have 15 minutes to get this done.
Okay.
So they'll be going to the chalk bucket to put chalk on. They'll be standing there rubbing the chalk on. And I'm thinking, and I see these people because I train with them. What are you doing? But part of their strategy to get started is go to the bucket, put chalk on, rub chalk in my hand, do a pull-up. Oh, my hands are a bit sweaty. This is not helpful, and it's not helping you get more repetitions in of the movement, and it's not helping improve your time. So quite a lot of the time, chalk is quite a common one.
I love it.
I need to change. There's a big rule in CrossFit that you don't put chalk on the floor and you don't bash the chalk, you know. So it's quite ironic that so many people have an issue with chalk. It does make me laugh. And also because a lot of the workouts are time bound. Yeah. So we have a big clock in the what's called the box, is what it's known as, and it will count down as your workout's going. And a lot of people use that clock, I think, as part of a strategy, wrongly, to rest, to use time and think, oh, well, I've got 2 minutes left, so I'm just going to wait here for a minute. Well, why are you waiting? Get on with it, you know?
Yeah.
Very interestingly, I did a workout, and this is, I guess, my own learning. I did a workout, and we were doing rowing in the workout. Yeah. And when you row, you can always see the clock. This particular workout, in a competition, you weren't allowed to see the clock. So it was everybody was against each other, and you had to know what it felt like to pull and to pull as fast as you do without looking at a clock. Well, I can tell you pretty much 99% of us were messed up, wasted. We didn't know what we were doing. We were pulling too hard, pulling too slow, because our strategy is to always use the clock. So for quite a lot of people, I've just got rid of that clock.
Yeah.
The clock also counts down prior to starting the workout, 10, 9, 8, and it beeps as it goes. Yeah.
Oh.
Some people get that panic and anxiety from
the beeps. I was going to say, that'll be an anchor in itself,
right? Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Anchored anxiety.
I've anchored excitement to it because I get, you know, and for most of the people that I coach, that's what we've done. But some people were getting very anxious about it. And that's when their palms would start to sweat and they get the physical response, you know. So, yeah, the smallest of things in the sports environment, it is amazing.
And when you say, I take the clock away, obviously, for people that are listening this that don't understand how strategies work, what do you mean by that?
So I talk to them about the process. So what do you notice about? So let's talk about the countdown. Okay, so tell me what happens to you at the countdown, right? So I see the clock. So they say, I see the clock and I'll see 10 on the clock. Right, okay, so tell me what happens to you. And we talk about everything that they
like
do.
Step by step.
Step by step, exactly. Completely break it down. Now, as you and I know, a strategy in sport should be, I see, I do, or I feel, I do.
Yeah.
Right?
However, with no internal dialogue distracting
nothing,
them.
So, let's talk about what's probably happening. So I see the clock. I have a quick chat to myself. Oh, my goodness, it's at number 10. I see the clock. Oh, it's at number 5. I'm starting to panic. I'm getting, you know. So already there's 2 or 3, even 4, 5, 6, 7 steps in there that shouldn't be in there, you know. And the thing is, if you're in a competition or not in a competition and just want to get better, having a strategy of I see the clock. It says 10. I'm ready. I hear the beep. It's 0. I go. You know, taking that from all
So it's like reprogramming the steps that they go through.
And that's exactly it, Laura. It's almost like a computer, isn't it? They've wired their brain wrong for doing that specific thing. I mean, you and I brush our teeth in the morning. You know, I see the toothpaste, I put it on my toothbrush, I brush my teeth. That's a strategy that we run every day, but we know how to do it automatically. Rightly or wrongly, people run strategies, as you and I, you know, might be people who like to lock and unlock their car a million times. Yeah. I do that quite a lot sometimes. Oh no, I locked my car. But that's a completely wrong strategy. And for some people, strategies aren't helpful.
It's a waste of energy and unhelpful, isn't
it? And they need that energy to be able to go on 0. They don't need to be wasting 10 seconds building up all that negative energy that they might have, because then that negative energy is just going to drive them through that workout. And that's the wrong type of energy. It's just not going to happen, is it?
Yeah. I love it.
So, yeah, it's quite... Wow. The strategies is very interesting.
I'm conscious we're coming towards the end of the show and we could sit here for hours talking about this, because I know you're hugely passionate about NLP and sport, and I love hearing you talk about all the successes that you've had. So what I want to say is thank you. Thank you for coming in and sharing your expertise and your experience, because you've got so much experience now of using NLP in sport. If people want to find out more about the coaching that you do and the workshops that you offer and they want to engage with you, how's the best way to get hold of you?
My website, probably revolutionpm.co.uk, or my Instagram account, which is lulurpm. I put a lot of stuff up there.
Lulu, spelled as in?
L-U-L-U-R-P-M.
RPM, okay. Yeah.
Put a lot of stuff up there. I'm constantly trawling the internet for different things, you know, techniques.
You share a lot of really good content.
Yeah, because it's important to me. It's important for everybody else to almost go through an education about what is out there. There is so much out there, and some things are great, some things are not great, you know, and it's worth just having one place to do that, so.
Yeah, fine. And obviously we talked about your YouTube channel as well earlier, so people can check you out there as well.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Well, thank you very much.
That's all right. Thank you.
So I've got a couple of quick fire questions to ask you, just to put you on the hot seat even more than you have been.
Love the hot seat.
So a few little quick fire questions I'm going to ask you. So first up, what does unleash your potential mean to you?
It's, for me, life-changing, if I was going to hit it up in one word. I had previously been on other NLP courses. I just find how you teach, Laura, is just how I think. I guess there might be people out there that don't think in the way you do and might find your courses different for them, but the value and the content you get out of the courses you do, it's just been absolutely amazing. And it's not just the courses, it's the people on it. I've stayed in contact with quite a lot of them. Obviously, we do the extra things like we did Laura Fest this year. Yeah. You know, it's being part of a community. So do you know what? That's another thing. That's another great word, isn't it? Community. I think Unleash Your Potential really connects the NLP community. For me here in South Wales, after I'd done my first course, I was a bit worried about how I was going to learn further, what access I'd have to people that could support me. I know that I can drop you a WhatsApp message and you'll probably give me a question back, not the answer. But it's really valuable to have that type of contact. You know, am I doing this right? Especially when you're new in business and you're working on your own, it can always be really challenging. So
thank you. That's all right. Thank you. It wasn't exactly a quick answer, but I love it anyway. Thanks. It's all right. So if you could go back to being any age at all, what age would you go back to?
Oh, that's a tough one, that is. No, it's not so tough, actually. I would go back to when I was 17. And I was on Camp America teaching horse riding to girls. How on earth I ended up on a horse riding camp when I couldn't horse ride, teaching Girl Scouts, all girls as well, for 6 months. It's very interesting, but I loved it. I relearned to ride. I did ride when I was little, but I accidentally ticked the box, you know, some experience. Whoopsie, you know, now you're a camp counsellor teaching horse riding.
Oh my.
But the friends I met there, like, I didn't want to leave. It was just a whole summer of me learning, I guess, about who I was. You probably know because you've had horses yourself. And just getting out when the girls had left camp, just bareback riding around the woods with the horses. It's just amazing.
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Definitely
love
my moment in life.
If you weren't doing NLP and sports coaching, what would you be doing?
If I had all the money in the world, probably lazing on an island in Thailand doing nothing.
Lovely. Can I come too?
Yeah, you may come too. Yeah, nothing. I just find that fascinating that people can live on the other side of the world with barely anything and live in a hut. And all right, they have their problems. But I really do think we create a lot of problems for ourselves here in the first world. You know,
don't we? Don't we, Jess? Don't
to be able to switch off and do that would be amazing.
Fab. So I want to introduce you to the Unleash Your Potential jar of badges. In this jar are all sorts of badges with things written on connected to NLP. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand you the jar, put your hand in, give it a little whirl around, pick a badge out, and then I'm going to ask you what you picked and why you picked it.
Just one.
Yeah, but have a handful and then you've got a bit of choice.
All right. Is that enough? Or a couple more?
Have a couple more. Oh, go on, have a couple more. Which one do you... Well, all right, fine, I've asked the jar. I mean, blooming neck, there's none
left. Right, okay.
There.
That's it, right, I'm
you've
done.
Got to pick one.
Yeah, I'll pick one.
Oh, you pick one. Put the others back in then.
Oh, right. Okay, thanks.
I'm glad we got that communication right.
Yeah. NLP, power of communication, huh?
So what did you pick and why did you pick it?
Probably my favourite word. Results.
Oh, I love it. How perfect for you.
How perfect. Results. I always want to get results with my clients, but NLP helps to get results fast. And I think that's the thing people forget, that NLP techniques are fast. It's not that you're trying to be quick. It's that NLP facilitates that mindset to be able to change things fast. So, but yeah, for me, that's a great word, results.
I love it. I love it. So I hope you've really enjoyed today's episode. I've thoroughly enjoyed interviewing Louise about the use of NLP in sport. If you'd enjoyed this podcast and you want to find out more about the other episodes that we have, head on over to our website, unleashyourpotential.org.uk/podcast, and you'll find access to all the episodes that we have created as part of this series. If you're interested in finding out more about any of the courses that we offer, and Louise talked about timeline therapy and masters and different courses today, then go on over to our website, unleashyourpotential.org.uk/brochure, and you'll be able to download the current brochure that has all the details involved in some of our courses. Now, if you would like to subscribe, I'd love you to, so that you can understand when we're going to release the next episode. And please do share this episode with anybody that you know that would be interested in hearing Louise's tips about using NLP in sport. Thank you for being with us. I very much appreciate it. And take care until next time.